Good morning, church. Happy New Year. Our reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians 1, and I'll be reading the whole chapter. It's on page 1186. Page 1186, 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord.
We have heard a joyful sound. Oh, that wasn't good enough, church family. Shall we try that again?
Yeah.
We have heard a joyful sound.
Jesus saved.
That's better. Well, can I add my welcome to Luke's welcome from the beginning? My name is Patrick. I'm one of the leaders here at Silver Street. Happy New Year to all of you. Well done for making it this morning. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. And it's great to see you here this morning. Before we turn to God's word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and kind. We sang earlier that your heart is kind. And the fact that we can sit under the authority of your word this morning is one of those ways that you show kindness to us. So we beg you by your spirit that you will help us in hearing what you have to say to us. May we not just be hearers, but instead, Lord, help us to put into practice what you've laid on our hearts, what you've planned for us, to the glory of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, when I was a young person, my mum often said, "Why are you not like your brother? Why do you not behave like your brother?" Anyone else here?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite annoying, isn't it? That went on for a few years. She never said why anyone is not like me. That says a lot about me, doesn't it? I can't remember Mum ever saying, "Why are you not like him?" But that's a story for another day. Well, why am I telling you that? If you've read the book of Thessalonians, Paul talks about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the urgency of his message. He talks about someone being a model and someone imitating that model. He says, we do not have forever in this Christian life to fulfill what God's called us. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ is nearer today than ever before. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Thank you. Every day, we draw closer to eternity than ever before. My prayer is that God will renew the sense of urgency for the work he has called us to do. Live like there's no tomorrow. We should pray for a sense of expectancy and urgency to what the Lord will start doing or will do in 2023. What is your aim for 2023? I wonder. 1 Thessalonians has some lessons for us. Let's have a little background of what Thessalonians is about. In Acts 17, you don't have to turn to that. In Acts 17, we're told that Paul came to Thessalonica and preached the gospel in the synagogue. You know, the synagogue was made up of mainly Jews. And so Paul went there and preached the gospel. As a result, many came to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. A large number of the Greek community became Christians, and some prominent women, some Jews. But amongst the Jews, there was a group of Jews who became so jealous of Paul and his companions. And soon they brought persecution and opposition. Some Jews who were jealous rounded up bad characters from the marketplace. You'll find all this in Acts 17. Some Jews who were jealous of Paul and his colleagues rounded up bad characters in the marketplace and started a riot in the city. Some from that group went to a man called Jason. Jason was one of Paul's companions. They went to his house looking for Paul and Silas, because that's where they were staying. And when they couldn't find Paul and Silas there, they arrested and took Jason away. Paul and Silas escaped in the middle of the night, knowing that they would not be allowed back in Thessalonica. They escaped to Corinth, where Paul wrote this letter that we're in this morning. He wrote to this young church, but the result of his preaching led to many people becoming Christians who formed this small church in Thessalonica. Because Paul left in such a hurry, he wrote this letter to while he was in Corinth, and he wrote this letter to encourage and build them up. Church family, I see you're wondering there, you're sitting there and wondering, what has this got to do with us here in 2023? Why are you bothering with all this? Church family, what happened at Thessalonians Community Church was completely the work of God. And that is why we need to be super interested. When God acts, we are to pay super attention. What happened there, I pray, may be reproduced in us today. We clearly see the work of God and what he done in verse 7. Look down with me. It's on page 1186 of your church Bible that Elizabeth kindly read for us. We see that clearly in verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. By the way, the word model means an example to follow or imitate. This is the only time Paul commends a church like this. There's no other church that he says you became a model. In the whole of the New Testament, you won't find it anywhere else. A couple of quick examples. Corinth Community Church, where Paul is now, Corinth Community Church, they had loads of gifted people there. They lacked no spiritual gifts, but it was full of self-interest for them to be marked out as a model. Ephesus Community Church, they had a great ministry. In Revelation, we're told that they had lost their first love and were so cold as a congregation to be marked out as a model. I wonder, how would Silver Street Community Church be described? Welcoming, I agree with that. Yes, I think you would say that. Caring, yes, I hear loads of stories. The elders will testify to this. There's a lot of caring stories at Silver Street Community Church. Evangelistic, yes, I think you would agree with that. Loving, yes. Prayerful, oh, brothers and sisters, I don't know about that one. The reason I say that, and I don't say that in any way to disrespect anyone, is sometimes the elders and the others at the prayer meeting, there's only a handful of us there. I'm thinking, brothers and sisters, where are you? Who's going to pray if you're not there? I realize some of us have to go to work. I realize some of us have commitments. But brothers and sisters, where are you? Come and pray. I know that some of you pray on your own at home, and I praise God for that. But sitting down to watch Coronation Street, come on, come out and pray. Not because I say so, Not because Jonathan says so, not because Luke says so, not because anyone else says so, because the Lord Jesus wants you to come and pray. So, let's go back to our passage. I digress. The Thessalonians became a model. We see that in verse 7 to 8. You became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God became known. Your faith in God became known
everywhere.
So what God did in this small church was known everywhere. The effect of God's work was overflowing well past their small community into further regions. God's work cannot be locked in one place. It overflows and cannot be stopped. People learn from people. Churches learn from churches. Others got interested through people, and others heard from other people as they spread out. So, what did God do, I hear you ask? What ways were there a model? We see it in verse 6. Look down with me in verse 6. Let's look at it together. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'm glad you're following with me. Thank you. I was saying, you welcomed the message in the midst of suffering, severe suffering, with the joy God has given, given by the Holy Spirit. So it's how they welcome the message in the midst of suffering, by the Spirit's help. These were ordinary people like you and me, whose faith did not fade under pressure and severe suffering. We are not told the details of this severe suffering. I know there's persecution going on there, but they must have included similarities to our suffering and pressure today. It could have included relationships issues, financial stress, health, housing, and so on. Church family, as we start 2023, I can assure you that you will come up against pressure and suffering. Luke was praying about that earlier. We need God to work in us a faith that will not fail under pressure and severe suffering, like he did with the Thessalonians. Isn't that great? We need God to act. And that is what was modeled through the Thessalonians by God. Church family, we need our culture for God to create that sort of faith in us. A sort of faith that will enable young people to resist lies and not rely on 20 people on the internet to form their moral standards. Faith that will enable men and women to resist sexual sins, pride, with the power of Christ Jesus by his Spirit. Our main question for 2023 should be, with your help, how can I please you, Lord Jesus? What kind of church can produce such people and fruit in 2023? What kind of church can produce such people and fruit in 2023? Glad you've asked that. I reckon the answer is right here in chapter 1. By God working through believers as they share the message. By God working through unbelievers as they hear the message and then imitate us. Look with me at verse 5. Look down at verse 5. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Our gospel came to you with power. Not Paul's power, not anyone else's power, but God's power with the Holy Spirit. What is this gospel? What is it that he's talking about? What's this gospel then? I am very pleased again. You're asking good questions. We get the answer in one verse. Sometimes it's wonderful that just one verse gives it to you all together. We've got the gospel in a nutshell. Let's look down together at verse 10. I'll start just a little bit before verse 10. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serving the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And here's the gospel. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. The gospel is about God's Son from heaven, who alone was raised by the Father from the dead. Nothing and no one can compare with him. He alone offers eternal life, God himself. When you die in Christ, you have eternal life. He rescues us from the coming wrath. But when did Jesus do this? Every person, Why did Jesus do this? Every person who's ever lived either faces the coming wrath and destruction due to rebellion and thrown in the lake of fire or is rescued through Jesus. God planned the rescue through the cross. He laid all his anger and wrath on Jesus on the cross for all who will believe and trust and depend on him. Church family, there is no experience in the whole world, no experience whatsoever, that can compare to what's coming in God's wrath for those who reject Jesus. You cannot imagine it. There is nothing that can compare with it. Jesus rescues us from that coming wrath. Without that wrath, the gospel makes no sense. I'll say that again. Without God's wrath, the gospel makes no sense. What is the point of telling a world that feels far from sin? They will say, okay, we don't do any harm to anyone. I'm not that bad. The Bible tells us that all have turned away from him. Your life will either go to eternal life or eternal suffering. If our sharing of the gospel does not carry the weight of this, does not show the consequences of rejecting the gospel, what will? The church exists to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and God, saved us, as we see in verse 10. Church family, if we could show people how to live their lives here in Edmonton, how to stop taking drugs, getting drunk, having sex outside of marriage, show them how to live really good moral lives, and even order their finances. We even sorted out the problems of Soho, the problems of Silver Street. If we did all that, but don't tell them the gospel of our Lord Jesus, then we have completely failed them. We have not loved them with the life-giving news. We have badly failed the Great Commission to go and proclaim Jesus as Lord, to go and proclaim the truth that saves. The health of the church is not about how many programs are running, how many people are on the membership list, how lovely the lunches are. Sorry if you do lunches. How many people come to church? But it's about those trusting Jesus with their lives, growing in confidence that he alone is sufficient, even in the midst of suffering. That is fruit from God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes, I'm glad you're with me. So, that was what was happening in Thessalonica, a genuine work of God. Paul says, what God is doing around you is what I want to see in other churches, even Silver Street Community Church. The message. Look with me in verse 5. The gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. Deep conviction may get us in trouble in our generation. You know how we lived among you for your sake, Paul says. Paul's message was also seen and played out in his life. He was deeply convicted. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. Have we today lost that conviction when we share the message? We now have a sort of bored way about sharing the gospel. It is just like any other message of sharing. It only comes in word and nothing else. Simply words. Like the truth that's never really done anything for us or for you personally. Do we share the gospel in a way that people think it's just another take it or leave it sort of message? The way this guy is putting it won't make any difference to me, really. If I don't accept that message, it really doesn't matter. Church family, I know we all have different styles to share the message. The Lord uses whatever personality is given you. Some are loud and all over the place. Yet others are methodical. Others are gentle and winsome. I don't know why you're laughing at that. You will also find others to be all over the place, but they are full of truth. I love the different styles he gives us all, especially our pastor and the other leaders in the church family. I love it. I love people that come up and preach here because we're all so different. But it must always fit with the weight of the message. This is not my example. Luke was telling us a story about marriage at the beginning. Imagine, I was planning to ask Janice to marry me, and I set up a text message and just say, what do you reckon? Shall we get married next week? The text message goes off to other people first before it goes to her because I pressed the wrong buttons. Anyway, eventually she gets it. I see her one day on the streets, I run over. Janice, what do you reckon? Shall we get married? I say. What do you think about that? That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Yeah. I think I've lost my place now. I think we're good. I asked her, and then she says, really? The weight of the message, surely. I've got to think about this, haven't I? I have to plan. I have to prepare, and if it's going to be a meal, yeah, do it properly. Darling, I've been thinking about this for years. Can you see the conviction there? This will be the best thing for you and me to be together the rest of our lives. That's not the way I did it, by the way. You see, the occasion requires seriousness, and I need to show the weight of the whole occasion. This is going to affect me the rest of my life, isn't it? I can't ask her like that. That would be totally inappropriate. Let's see if I can find my place. Right. So. That's it. You've put me off now. So, what was I saying? About marriage. And what did we say about marriage?
The weight of the message.
Okay, yeah. 15? Okay, all right. Oh, he's finished it. Okay, so we see how the Spirit influenced the church. So as I was saying, it would be inappropriate for me to ask and ask Janice in that way. Okay, yes. So a generous church. I'll just go one page back so that then you can follow where I'm at. So the gospel is communicated with truth, clarity, conviction. You can expect the Holy Spirit to work his message. So when you ask someone or share the gospel with someone, there's got to be clear and there's got to be clear conviction from what you're saying, because what the Lord has done in your heart cannot be hidden at all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, a generous church, we heard from Luke a few years ago, like the Macedonians a while ago, will produce a generous church even while they are poor. An entertaining church will produce Christians who are about entertaining. A gospel-focused church will produce gospel-focused churches. You become imitators of us when you followed us, Paul says. The kind of ministry we offer will become the kind of ministry they become. You become imitators of us What a responsibility. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 40, a student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Think about your influence on others in 2023. Think about the influence of others in 2023. See how the Holy Spirit influenced the Thessalonians as they imitated Paul. This is what God was doing. See what the result of the Spirit at work was doing. We can see that in verse 2 to 4. Look with me, verse 2 to 4. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's more. Look with me, verse 9 to 10. For they, people watching the church, they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Brothers and sisters, our God was at work big time at this church. Faith affects the change from within. Faith affects the change from within. It also leads to service, to serve the living and true God, offering self to Jesus for direction and use. It also offers endurance. We see that in verse 10. Look with me, verse 10. Waiting for the Son from heaven, the power empowering by the Holy Spirit. God is still working in them. When you endure pain and still love Jesus, the world cannot make sense of that. The world wants to dismiss your faith as psychology or something like that. Paul identifies this church as a genuine family of God. Look with me at verse 4. We know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. I used to read that and that would make me worry. It might lead you to worry as well. Chosen you? How does Paul know they are chosen? Look how Paul is sure of this. Look with me, verse 5. He says, we know, just before verse 5, isn't it? We know from verse 4. We know because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. It did not come to you simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. With power, Holy Spirit and deep conviction. He knows because of the effect of the gospel at the church in Thessalonica through the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he knows that. It's not him that made the difference at all. What made the difference? The three things I've mentioned there?
Power, Holy Spirit,
and deep conviction. Absolutely. Nothing to do with Paul. He was just being used by God. It's the effect of the gospel in their lives. They welcomed the message in the middle of severe suffering. They were imitating Paul and his companions. The message was now overflowing to other regions. As we start 2023, I'm about to finish, by the way. As we start 2023, what sort of model are you going to be? On your own, church family, you will not be able to do better. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can imitate Paul, the Thessalonians, and the Lord Jesus. Our prayer is this, verse 6, 7, and 8. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. I'm so glad you're with me. And so you became imitators of us and the Lord and to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God became known everywhere. And we do not need to say anything about that. But I do want to end by saying that if you have not trusted Jesus as the only one who is able to rescue you from the coming wrath, that wrath is still coming towards you. There is no way, brother and sister, child, grown up, old, whatever you want to describe yourself, that coming wrath that we see in verse 10 is coming directly to you. If you die today, it's the end for you. I say that with love. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day to be rescued from that coming wrath. Don't do it because I say so. Do it because Jesus says he is the only one that can rescue you. Please turn to him and follow him. Trust him for the payment of all the rotten things you've done. You might think you're a nice person. I am telling you, you're not a nice person. The Lord Jesus says, we've all turned against him. We've all turned our backs on him. It's not me saying. Not a nice person is Jesus. There is no nicer person than Jesus. His heart is kind, as we read earlier. But he's offering you that heart. He's offering you eternal life because he died in your place. Instead of you dying, he died on the cross. When he was crucified, but he did not stay dead, he rose back on the third day. I urge you, I plead with you to turn to him. We do not know how long we have. And if you are a Christian already, I praise God for you. Please join me in crying out to him in prayer. Don't force it, but ask him to give you that deep conviction. Oh, thank you, my wife is listening. To give you that deep conviction so that then we can pray back what he's convicting us with. Maybe the person that brought you here with me, if you want to talk a bit further about this, can explain that better, or you can ask Luke or Jonathan or any of the other Christians here to explain things better than I have. But I do pray, brother, sister, child, that you'll come to believe in the one who gives eternal life, to believe in the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. The offer is available today. Isn't that lovely? His heart is kind and is offering you that free gift of eternal life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, whom you sent to rescue us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your mission of rescue has been completed. And so we pray as a church family that you help us ring out that message that the Thessalonians did so well. May you do the same for us, please, by your grace. Help us, please, Lord, to trust in you even in the midst of severe suffering, whatever that may be. Help us, please, Lord, not to turn our backs on you, but to continue trusting in you. But above all, Lord, we pray, please, that you help us to love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and help us, please, to make you known. For Jesus' sake.